could the people of the Old Testament be saved? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and as usual, my pastor has taken time out of his busy schedule to come in. We do that because we want to make a statement about how Key Life feels about the church. We don't mention the name of the church, but Pete is my pastor. He's responsible for me and all the bad stuff that I do. It's because he didn't discipline properly in the church. Pete is a great pastor, and he's also on our board because we want to really be connected to the church. You know, Key Life, I believe God raised up, but that's not the same as the church. The church is his bride, and that's where the central thing. Pete, I appreciate you coming in.
Good to be here.
Hey, listen, Pete comes in to answer some questions. If you have a question, feel free to write it down. You can send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maplin, Florida, 32794. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. But be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you would like a response. And by the way, you always get a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. That's to get all the neat stuff that we make free for you, or to make a contribution if you'd like. But you do have to write your question down. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Our Father, we begin today by coming to you in prayer. And Lord, it's always the best place and the safest place to be. Lord, we come to you today not having it all together in our lives, but knowing that you are perfect, you are infinite, you are all-wise and all-knowing and all-loving. And Lord, all that you are absolutely surpasses our comprehension of your majesty and your grace. And so we praise you and we honor you. And Lord, we pray that as we go into this time of the year, at the latter part of this year, that Lord, you'd get our hearts, get our minds, draw us more and more to be absorbed with who you are, and less absorbed and thrown off by the things that are going on in our life. We praise you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we've seen your grace in Christ, and we see it every day of our life. And so today, Lord, we pause, and yet we look ahead towards Sunday, where we're going to gather with your people and together lift up praise and honor to you. Be with our leaders, our pastors and teachers, our priests. Father, be with our leaders and their wives. We pray, Father, that you would encourage them, those pastoral families, as they are on the front line for you. Encourage them. Give them the words to say and help them to love your people that are sometimes not always easy to love. Lord, teach through them and make us open to their message. And Father, we pray that you would use this ministry to continue to show your radical grace, your freedom, your love, and how you've made provision for our sins in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, bless this ministry to your honor and glory. And we commit our time now to you as we pray these things. In the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pete's first question is from Ontario. I love Ontario. I love going up there. We have the best board in Canada. I mean, some of the most delightful people. And the people who stand with Key Life in Canada are just wonderful. And it's growing like weeds.
That's great.
And I don't just like Ontario. Canada's a great country.
I've never been up there, but I've been out western Canada.
You've got to go with us sometimes to a board meeting, the Key Life Canada board meeting. Or, well, I'm with you. Western Canada is magnificent. The Canadian Rockies. We spent some time there. Well, at any rate, let's get to the question. I'm trying to avoid the questions. What I'm trying to do. It's from Ontario, and how could the people of the Old Testament be saved?
We just talked about this in our officer training class, and one of the greatest misconceptions that Christians have is that there were two methods of salvation in the Bible.
Right.
In the Old Testament, it was by keeping the law of Moses, and in the New, it's by faith in Christ. And we Reformed Presbyterians have the right answer.
But it is a good answer. I really do like it.
It is. It
go
really
ahead.
Is.
Continue.
Well,
that's good.
You know, God made a covenant with Abraham, and that's the old covenant, Genesis 12. And Genesis 15, 17, 19. Read all those chapters, 12, 15, 17, 19. And you'll see, in, is it 17 or is it 15?
No, it's 15.
It's 15.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, Abraham believed God
yeah.
and reckoned to him as righteousness. And so Abraham believed God's promises, and he didn't understand it all, but ultimately it was going to be that God would bless the world through his family line. And ultimately, as you read the New Testament, Galatians and Romans, Abraham is the father of us all because he was a believer. And so he looked ahead to the Messiah. We look back to the Messiah who came. It's faith through and through.
When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, Abraham didn't know him.
No, he didn't. And there is mystery there. And so it was in those covenantal promises that he made, but that looked ahead to the Lamb. And we see that ceremonial, the whole ceremonial aspect of the law, the institution of the lambs and sacrifices. And Christ is that Lamb.
And what you're saying certainly isn't... aside from New Testament teaching in Romans, and then also Hebrews 11, where the faith that they had, even though they didn't have it completely, or in a knowledgeable way, was reckoned as righteousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you were saved too, isn't it?
Yeah. Total. I mean, I never had it all together. I still don't have it all together. Tomorrow I will.
Yeah, right.
I mean, have you had people say, but Steve, did they really believe that by offering the sacrifice, they were forgiven? Was it by giving the sacrifice, or was it by faith and the sacrifice? I mean, that's the issue.
Well, it was the faith saying, God said, you know, God was doing a thing, and Hebrews says that was a shadow. Nobody was ever saved by the blood of bulls.
That's right.
But God was saying, I'm preparing your mind and your heart for what I'm going to do that's big time. Trust me on this. Sacrifice that lamb.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. And they trusted him, and they were saved.
I like that.
By Jesus, by the way.
Yeah,
good.
I like that.
And that's really not easy. And that isn't easy. But listen, this is from Ohio. What hope is there for those who have never heard about Jesus? Will they be judged differently?
I like people from Ohio. They're great.
Yeah, I wish they would ask me questions.
This is a tough one. You know, I think the Bible, you said it just a minute ago. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
But you know,
Jesus said.
Yeah, exactly. But we then surmise from that statement by Jesus a whole bunch of stuff that is never addressed directly in the Bible. We know that if Jesus doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
There's a wonderful book by Peterson, I think, Eternity in Their Hearts, where he talks about in every culture, in every place, God has his witness.
Yeah.
And English evangelicals suggest that if they make the right decision the first time, they'll have an opportunity to make the second decision.
Mm.
In other words, the decision in the first chapters of Romans, you have no excuse. Whoever you are, because what's been needs to be known about God's been revealed, and I don't know how that works, but I think when somebody says, "Well, you think people in third world country going to be saved?" I say, "Look, if they are, it'll be Jesus, and the Bible doesn't deal with that, but you know, so what about you?"
That's right. They know now, and they're responsible for what they know.
Yeah.
And we make this assumption that that so many people don't know or are never going to know. And Paul makes the point in the New Testament that that's why we're going out.
That's right.
That's why they're missionaries all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And you've got to be careful even talking about this, as you know, cut the legs off what the very clear statement by Jesus. That's what. And I love our church because we're so involved in world missions.
Mm.
And,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people here, and I think a lot of people here, when they do approach death, I mean, I know that some people have trouble with deathbed conversions, but. Who's to say that God at any point can't reveal himself at the very end should he so desire?
And God said, you remember what Jesus said probably to John? John said to Jesus, because it had been passed around that Peter, that he was going to die, I forget. But anyway, he asked Jesus about it, and Jesus said, what is that to you? Follow me.
You follow me,
and
right?
So there's
yeah.
a sense in which the secret things are known only to God.
Mm-hmm.
We know you'll be just. We know you'll be loving. we know that you don't get to heaven except through Jesus. And I'm willing to let him worry about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Will they be judged differently? Boy, we can't answer that one.
No.
We can only say what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then go on and be faithful.
That's true. All right, this is, we get into trouble every time we answer that, because I'm going to go to the next page. We've done enough controversial stuff this time. This is from Maryland. What is meant by praying in the Spirit?
There may be a technical
I thought I was going to do better by going to the next page, but it's not working that way.
This may be, a technical, charismatic, or Pentecostal expression. I think praying in the Spirit may mean praying in tongues. It may mean...
Now, Pentecostal and charismatic brethren would probably say that.
Yeah.
Or would say that you're caught up in it, and it's the Spirit praying through you.
Right, right.
But it could mean more than that, can't it?
It could be that the Holy Spirit is leading us as we pray. And there are times, it's kind of like when you're preaching, sometimes you say, the Lord is really here. I mean, this is happening because he's here.
That's right.
And there's sometimes when you're praying and you're saying, this is so good. What's going on?
Yeah.
And it may really well be that the Holy Spirit is sort of anointed that time. I've come to love that word a lot more, anointed.
Yeah,
I'm not going to want to take it off, but it's a biblical word.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, when you pray for us on Fridays, I think you pray in the Spirit. I mean, you kind of leave Eric and me, and I think you pray in the Spirit. And I think, and that is not to rule out what our charismatic and Pentecostal brothers would say, but I would just say it has a broader definition than just that.
Right.
And speaking of preaching, I love to tell my students that you haven't lived until God comes in the middle of a sermon, and you could go sit in the front pew because it doesn't have a thing to do with you.
Yeah.
And when that happens, that's better than drugs. Well, I don't know if it's better than drugs. I've never taken drugs. But I tell my students, when that day happens and when you sense it, you'll be thankful that God calls you to be a preacher.
Yeah, and you never want to go back to just doing it in your flesh again.
No.
Every week you say, Lord, you got to take this thing.
That's true. What are means of grace? This is from New Mexico.
Now, that's more...
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Say it real quick because you got 10 seconds.
It's a means that God uses to impart his power and his love to us.
Like the church?
Like the church, like the word, like the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
Prayer. Preaching.
So now you know. That's a pretty good answer, man, for 10 seconds. I don't think either one of us ever did anything in 10 seconds. Guys, we're out of here. Before I go, I must say to you that whenever you write a call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.